Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you to do the same thing too.
Atlanta Life Media. Well, good morning. And as we broadcast live from Philadelphia, and welcome to a brand new year of exciting and inspirational episodes for the Up to Me magazine show. Today we have a very special guest for you as we talk with Miss Eva Lise Page, Executive Director and co-founder of her nonprofit Christian organization, Believe Big, and Stage 4 Colon Cancer Survivor. I'm your host, Gabby G, and if you're new to the program, my mother used to call me Gabby Gale as a little girl because I was born with the gift of gab, a trait that both my husband and son can each attest to. But I say that's okay because I believe that one's greatest weakness is also one's greatest gift. So if you like to talk a lot like me, or you're just a great listener, please join me in my virtual Gabby G Cafe and be inspired along with me as I introduce to you each morning another fabulous guest to inspire and educate you. Each week, I will welcome our guest and invite you to join me in conversations on various topics that relate to our journeys in awakening and living in our life purpose. I'm blessed and humbled to be a part of this Christ-led team, and I do not take this opportunity to serve as your host for granted. Here at Up to Me magazine, we love to encourage and empower each other to be the best that we can be. So this program is truly meant to be a platform of voices to be heard and expressed in a safe and non-judgmental environment. In addition, we also love to support our local and regional communities and charitable nonprofit organizations. This week, I cannot think of a better organization right here in our Northeast region than our current guest's very own nonprofit, Believe Big. Believe Big is a nonprofit Christian organization founded by Eva Lise and Jimmy Page after her battle with stage 4 colon cancer. Established in 2011, Believe Big is bridging the gap between conventional medicine for fighting cancer and provides patients with hope, help, and healing. To find out more or to make a donation to Believe Big, you can visit their website at www.believebig.org. A special thank you to Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band for creating our theme song, Wake Up. You can hear the song in its entirety at the close of our show, so don't forget to listen through the entire recording. If you want to join me in today's discussion, please call in now to get the on-air cue. That number is 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. And I'll go ahead and repeat that for you. That number is 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. Well, I'll have to admit that I sometimes let the busyness of life keep me from staying on top of those appointments that tap on my shoulder. You know, the dry cleaners until I don't have any clothes for work, the dentist until I receive that reminder call from the office, the dermatologist when I've spent too much time in the sun, and even those hard-to-get appointments that you can't afford to miss, like the eye doctors, the OBGYN, mammograms, bone density, and yearly physicals. I'm cringing right now to even reveal to all of you and to my next guest especially that I'm even 6 years past my initial colonoscopy screening. And I know that's really bad, and whenever I think about that, I cringe myself. It's something that I really have to do. And really, that's just one reason why I thought it of utmost importance to have my next guest appear on our show this morning, because I want to share with us her own very personal story of surviving stage 4 colon cancer. Eva Lise Page is the executive director and co-founder of Believe Big. Diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer at the age of 37, she overcame the 8% two-year survivorship rate without the use of chemotherapy, and remains cancer-free today. After facing, fighting, and overcoming cancer, Eva Lise was compelled to reach out to patients facing similar challenges with hope, help, and healing. Ivalice and her husband, Jimmy, as I mentioned earlier in the intro, established Believe Big in 2011 to help families bridge the gap between conventional and complementary medicine for fighting cancer. Ivalice, Jimmy, and their four beautiful children reside in Maryland. Please help give me a very warm and virtual welcome to Miss Ivalice Page. Good morning, Ivalice. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for being here. And I know how precious Saturday mornings are, especially when you have four young children. So I just really appreciate the fact that you're here with us this morning and getting up early when you may have been able to sleep in a little bit.
No, I couldn't think of a better thing to be doing right now, and I just appreciate also your transparency. So I just wanted to thank you, and you're going to be scheduling that appointment after this show, right?
You know what? I really absolutely am going to do that. In fact, that's
right.
One of my New Year's resolutions is
great.
To get all my appointments done this year. I have
perfect.
Two scheduled for February the 2nd. And when I'm there at the Women's Health Center, then I'm going to schedule my colonoscopy because it's done there as well. So they're their team there. So, yeah, I felt like I was kind of shamed into it.
Whatever it takes.
You know, it was never it's not out of fear that I didn't do it. It's just, I forgot that after 50, I'm 56. So I know at 50 is the recommended age. So the typical recommended age.
Yes.
And so I just forgot about it. And then someone would mention it or I'd hear a story and I'd say, oh, my gosh, I have to do that.
Yes.
And I just haven't done it. I don't know what it is. So I guess it's just being busy and just, you know, you forget. But when I first heard about your story, Ivalice, my first inclination or train of thought was how courageous it was of you to go beyond the conventional method of chemotherapy. And I had all these questions in my own head about your process. So, you know, before we talk about your incredible organization, Believe Big, which is amazing, by the way, and I know we spoke about this before, but I just think it's so revolutionary what you do and what this organization is about. I would just like to share your inspirational story with our listeners so we can guide and educate them and myself as well.
Sure.
Can you go ahead and, you know, and just in your own words, tell us how this journey for you began?
Yeah, sure. Well, I have a family history of colon cancer. So my father was diagnosed at the same age that I was, at age 37, and he died 2 years later. My grandmother, his mother, had also been diagnosed with colon cancer, and half of her siblings, and they all passed away from colon cancer. And it pretty much decimated my dad's side of the family. And so because I knew of my family history, myself and my sisters had always been very proactive about doing all the necessary testing that the doctors had recommended. And for me, they said for a high risk that I needed to start having colonoscopies starting 10 years prior to my dad's being diagnosed, which was at the age of 27. We actually started earlier. I think I had my first colonoscopy when I was 20. And I had them every 5 years. Never. Not a polyp, nothing, clean, never. And my sisters as well. And probably the summer before I was diagnosed, I knew the symptoms to look out for, so I didn't experience any of them. And the summer before I was diagnosed, I was just extremely tired. And I thought it was because I was a busy mom of four. I homeschooled my kids at the time. I worked at night and figured I'm just tired. And when the summer hit, my husband said, this is more than just tired. A person is not napping 2 hours a day. Like, this is, something's wrong. So I want you to go and get checked out. So sure enough, I went and got checked. Went to the doctor thinking he was going to say, oh, you know, you're a little anemic or you need a little more iron or more a supplement or two, right? So they did blood work at my doctor's office, and they discovered that I was severely anemic. So severe that he said, you need to go to the emergency room right now and get a blood transfusion. And I was like, what? And I, sure enough, I at that time, my husband was traveling, and I had my kids at home, and I had a friend watching them, and I'm like, how is this going to happen? And I just need an iron pill. I don't need to be rushed there. And he said, your organs can fail at any moment. You're that anemic. So how good is God that my husband was in between trips? He was sitting at the airport, and I don't share this very often. He was sitting at the airport waiting for his flight to go to California, and he looks up and I call him, and I said, this is what's happening. You need to get home right now. And he says, I'll call you back. And sure enough, he looks up, and he's sitting, because the next flight out was for California. He looks up, and the flight is to Baltimore. He runs up to the desk, tells them the emergency. They switch him, and he's able to be home within an hour and a half.
My goodness.
So the whole thing of trying to figure out what was wrong with me, they went through all types of testing, and colon cancer was at the very bottom of their list because I had been getting them every 5 years, and my last colonoscopy was 3 years prior. So they were definitely ruling that out. And the test to rule it out ended up being the test that they discovered it.
Wow. And so your major symptom then for you is your fatigue.
Fatigue.
For that.
Yes.
And that's one of the. Is there? One question I wanted to ask you that is, since you have a prior history, does that mean that colon cancer is genetic, or are there other specific triggers besides fatigue that others can look out for that we can be prone to?
Definitely. Well, typically colon cancer, 90% of people who are diagnosed with colon cancer are over age of 50. And it's basically because of a sedentary lifestyle, obesity, the diet. You know, we're in such a processed food diet now, the American diet, Western diet. My oncologist is actually saying that he's seeing so many people now in their 20s. Now in 30
weeks. Really?
That he never saw before. Yeah, with no history of colon cancer. So people who say, well, it was just because I was, you know, I'm getting older and I'm in my 50s, but it's not being the case now lately. And he's seeing patients as early as 20 now with colon cancer. And so, you know, for most people, it is not. I am part of that 3% of Lynch syndrome, which we discovered later, that it can grow from polyp to full-blown cancer in 36 months. And that is why with traditional colon cancer, it can grow from polyp to full-blown cancer in 10 years. So that's why they were thinking, well, every 5 years we would catch it. But with someone with a genetic history like I have with Lynch syndrome, it could grow in as short as 36 months, which was my case because I had just had one 3 years prior.
And so they didn't see any polyps in between that time. That's what's incredible to think about.
Yeah.
They do say that it's, they call it the silent disease or whatever, like ovarian cancer as well. Because you don't, by the time you experience symptoms, it's pretty advanced stage. Is that right?
Yes, and that's why it's really important to really see what's normal for you. And for a typical person, they can, if you see blood in your stool, or if you are really extremely fatigued, you know, those are the top two things that, you know, people look into. And to really be your own advocate and really say, well, you know what, this is not normal. You know, this is not, go get those tests immediately. Don't chuck it off as something that could be something, it's probably this. Really make that next effort and make sure and verify that it isn't anything more than what it is.
Possibly goes through your mind at that initial diagnosis. Did you feel shocked, even though you knew you had a family history? Were you surprised?
Definitely. Way, because, again, I was doing what I thought I was supposed to be doing. I was having my colonoscopies every 5 years. I would have them in my calendar so I would not forget. I was exercising 3 times a week. I was eating organic. I was doing all the things necessary. Yes. Yes. I later found out there were certain things that I was doing that I should not have for colon cancer, and things that, even though it's organic, I should not have been eating red meat. It's really difficult. For people who have colon cancer, there are certain things in your diet that you need to restrict, and meat is one of them. And I was having, you know, probably meat, whether in spaghetti and other things, probably three times a week, red meat. And dairy is also a high inflammatory item. And I was, even though it was organic, it still causes inflammation. So if a patient or a person can actually overcome their genetic linkings of things, if they actually know what they need to specifically do for them specifically.
It's interesting that you're talking about nutrition and inflammation. Inflammatory, yeah, and inflammatory types of foods, because I've been hearing a lot about this, and I first heard about it from Dr. Oz, like,
yes,
a couple of years ago.
He's about sharing information, yes.
My sister-in-law was on Dr. Oz one time.
Wow, that's awesome.
And yeah, she was. And so I hear a lot now about that is what really causes a lot of these diseases that weren't,
yes,
heard about years before, and it's from inflammation and inflammatory, and a lot of what we have is centered around our gut, you know.
Yes.
And a lot of things,
say,
I think that's where all our organs are, correct?
Well, inflammation, your digestive system is 90% of your immune system. So if your digestive system is a mess, your ability and your immune system's ability to fight off disease is very difficult, whether it's a cold or whether it's a disease. So, you know, that's why it's really important that you're eating a predominantly plant-based, non-processed food diet, you know, into your lifestyle, as many fruits and vegetables. And nowadays, things are so processed that it's many kids aren't having fruits and vegetables even on their plates.
Yeah, you know what? I just had that conversation with my son. He's the kind of kid that he's almost 6 foot tall. He'll be 19, and he eats whatever's not nailed down. He never gains any weight, but he eats a lot of, like, more junk food, and so I'm trying to tell him now and stress that you really do need to take the time to cook and make better choices for your food as you're getting older, because, you know, I'm thinking about all these inflammatory foods, and just because he can sit down and all he'll want is a giant piece of steak, big prime rib, no sides, and that's it, that's all he'll want. So, you know, especially now as you're talking, you know, my wheels are spinning as a mom, thinking, you know, how can I put him on a better track for eating, and myself as well. I feel like I eat pretty well, high protein, high fiber kind of things. But yeah, we do. We go out to eat a lot, or you eat on the run, or you pop in something in the microwave or whatever. But I can't even imagine
Go
ahead.
Well, I was thinking, like, you know, it's really, I think for a healthy person, I think prevention is the best medicine. And so many times it's not until an alarm goes off, whether it's a disease or sickness, that people are willing to make a change. And if people are willing to at least incorporate 80% of what they're eating to be a healthy, non-processed type of diet, then that 20% when you go get, you know, a cookie or have a dessert when you're going out, or, you know, those things, it's not as big, but when it's reversed, you know, that's when things become a little trickier. So, you know, they say that the average American, 80% of your gut, your digestive system, should be healthy bacteria, and 20% can be bad. And the American gut is 20% good and 80% bad.
Man,
so,
well, that doesn't surprise me.
And so, the importance of preventing disease and diseases skyrocketing, whether it's diabetes in our kids or cancers, is skyrocketing. And I definitely see a tie within food and lifestyle, stress, chemicals that are in the environment and what we're eating and ingesting even. So
in light of that, for your own family, since we're talking about our kids and our children, after that, now, did you make any changes for your family's nutrition after that?
Yeah, so, you know, we had already switched to an organic diet, and I always tell families the easiest thing to do, because it can get overwhelming, and some people actually, you know, it could be a cost issue as well.
Yeah, because organic is a lot more expensive.
Yes, but then I always say, you know what, but the cost of disease is even more expensive.
Yeah,
but
that's a good point.
An easy way for someone to slowly incorporate healthy things, you know, for a healthy family, you know, start with small things like eating, purchasing things at the grocery store that are part of that Clean 15 or Dirty Dozen. Have you ever heard of that?
No, what is
okay.
that?
So the Environmental Working Group, it's EWG.org, is a great organization, and what they do is they actually test products that are out there that you may have even in your bathrooms or in your home, whether it's cleaning products or beauty products. Also, they have a little chart that you can print off, and it says Clean 15 and then the Dirty Dozen. The Dirty Dozen are the fruits and vegetables, the top 12, that have the most toxins on them and that you absolutely have to buy organic. So, for example, an apple can have over 40 different types of pesticides on it by the time you get it. And people might say, well, you just wash it off really well. But if you think about it, where those apples were growing in that orchard, the soil is what's bringing up the nutrients into the fruit. And so it's really important that you avoid those and the toxic load that is on our bodies. You know, our immune system was meant to fight off these things, but we're so overloaded, our immune systems from so many different angles, that if you can even just avoid those Dirty Dozen fruits and vegetables and buy just those organic, you're far ahead.
Wow, I'm going to visit that website. You said it's EWG.org?
EWG.org, environmentalworkinggroup.org. And you can type in the name of your sunscreen, and it'll tell you from a rate of 1 to 10 how healthy that is for you, and it'll tell you
wow.
why.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. That's
You're
awesome.
Welcome.
I definitely
welcome.
So you're educating me. I really appreciate it so much. And so after your initial diagnosis, what do you recommend, or what did you do as your very first step to begin
yes.
your care? What was the very first thing you did after you were diagnosed?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, it was a complete shock. And my husband and I both looked at each other and like, how can this be? And fear began to set in because, especially with my family history and knowing how my father had passed away and his family members. And I honestly felt I was on the same track. Diagnosed 37, dead at 39. And I kept whispering those things within my ears. And my husband and I immediately knew that I could, you know, live by fear, or I could live by faith and fight. And
Amen.
We really, at that very moment, put a stake in the ground and said, oh no, God is bigger than cancer. We are going to live by faith and fight. And our mind is the most powerful tool to overcome what the enemy of this world tries
yes.
to discourage us and back us up against the corner. And I battled fear, and I think sometimes fear is even more scary than the cancer itself. It
yes,
can paralyze
I agree.
You.
yeah.
And
yes.
they've actually, you know, done studies that say that fear keeps the body in a fight or flight mode, meaning that it prevents it from healing because it's in that, okay, ready to fight or flight. But if you're relaxed and you're experiencing God's peace, then you know that your body can heal. So what my husband did for me to overcome those whispers of, well, your dad didn't make it, why do you think you will? You're not going to
see
your daughter
get married.
We know
where those thoughts come from.
Oh, yes.
For the Lord did not give us the spirit of fear, so we know, but
Amen.
Of love, power, and a sound mind. So we know that
yes.
the spirit of fear comes from the enemy, and that's
yes,
who whispers
indeed.
Those things in your ear.
Yes, indeed. But he gave us a much powerful tool, which was his word. He calls it the
that's
sword
right.
of the spirit. And
yes.
so my husband
awesome.
Compiled the I Will Have No Fear prayer for me. And he took all of our favorite I Will Have No Fear verses, and he made almost like a poem out of them, just with God's word. And I spoke
wow.
it out loud.
He's a smart man.
He's great, yes.
How sweet,
and it's actually,
yeah.
It's actually what's in our Believe mugs today. So I had that with me wherever I went, because I could be at the grocery store, I could be sitting at home, I could be washing my face, and those thoughts would come. And I literally had to picture a stop sign. As soon as the thought came in, I had a stop sign, and then I had to instantly replace it, and I replaced it with his word. And I can tell you that as soon as I finished reading that prayer, instant peace every single time.
That's amazing. And really that, because emotional and spiritual care is just as important as the physical healing process.
Yes.
So I was going to ask you who your supporters were. Obviously, it was your wonderful husband who had the discernment from God, you know, how to jumpstart you towards your healing that way. And really, I was going to ask you how that made a difference in your recovery, but I can see how it made a difference in your recovery. That's really incredible. That really is incredible, because you're starting off on a more positive note. But then how do you go about transferring that in your home, from your home and in your spiritual life, to your physical care towards doctors who are, you know, they're not typically or maybe allowed to practice more spiritually. You know, they have their medicines, you know, from the insurance companies and stuff, and there are forms of conventional treatment like chemotherapy. So how do you get them on board to align with your spiritual beliefs?
Well, I think that it's important that for you to be your own advocate. And that's one of the things that I try and help and educate other patients with. And I know we'll talk about those resources later, but asking the right questions is really important, and knowing the answers to those questions are really important. And so Jimmy, thankfully, he had been in the wellness industry for over 20 years, and so he knew what websites to look into. He knew what to do. And so we had a list of questions, and we actually interviewed three different oncologists with those same questions about my personal care. And you know, when it came down to it, I asked this one question, and honestly, I was quite surprised that in the 28 years since my dad's death, that the same treatment was being offered, and that was nothing new, nothing different than 28 years ago. And I was like, how can this be? I thought there were so many advancements in cancer treatment. But the question that really surprised me, because I tell people, I said, it's not that I'm against chemotherapy or radiation, because every person's cancer is different, every situation is different, and you need to do what's best for you. But in order for you to know what's best for you, you need to know what the right questions are to ask. And so
Absolutely. If
my doctors would have told me, Evelise, you do that chemotherapy, it will get rid of it, 75% chance, you'll be fine, you'll be good to go, I would have kept it on the table as an option. But in my case, when I asked them the question, so if I do chemotherapy versus not doing chemotherapy, what's the difference in my survival rate? And I was shocked that the difference between doing it and not doing it was an 8 to 10% benefit. So if I did a chemotherapy, it would have only helped my chances 8 to 10%.
So did you say to yourself then, what am I supposed to do? And what are my options? Are there any other options? How did you come across your alternative treatment that saved your life?
Yes. Well, so I really believe it's a accumulation of things. I don't think there's one magic bullet when it comes to curing cancer. There's so many facets to healing, like you've mentioned, where the spiritual and emotional side is so important, the physical side, the conventional treatment, it's important. I did have surgery to remove the cancer that was in my colon and later showed up in my liver. So that was important for me to get rid of the cancer, and the supplements and my diet, and then, of course, the mistletoe therapy that I used. But you know, when he told us that, I asked him this question, and I said, it seems like I'm burning down a whole forest for one rotten tree. It doesn't make sense to me to destroy everything that's good for a 10% benefit. And he said, that's all we have. And so, you know, my husband and I really had to be prayerful about my care, and you know, we really had to come to the point, you know, and I think this is what brought me peace. And he said to me one day, and it's so true, he says, Evelise, we could do all the right things and you could die. We could do all the wrong things and you could live. Ultimately, your life is in God's hands. And the question is, do we trust him no matter how this turns out? And then our answer to that was yes. You know what, Lord, give us the wisdom for this next step. But in that process, Lord, we trust that you are bigger than our decisions, than the doctor's decisions, and we just trust that you will give us the wisdom to proceed. And shortly thereafter, within a week or two, I had two friends from two different walks of life within the same week say, "Evelise, you need to speak to Dr. Hinderberger." And I'm like, "What?
The same doctor, you know, each friend?"
The same doctor. Same doctor.
Wow.
She goes, "I think he can help you." And I'm like, "Okay, we're going to go." So we made an appointment, and that's where he shared with us about mistletoe therapy. And honestly, when he mentioned it, I'm like, "Wait, isn't that what we see at Christmas time?"
Yeah, absolutely. That's what you think.
And
how is that? What is mistletoe anyway?
What is mistletoe? Exactly. And he began to share with us, you know, that it's been used for cancer treatment for over 100 years, all over the world except for here in the U.S. He was a researcher at a hospital in Switzerland for cancer, and so that's how he brought it here. And he said, "Evelise, mistletoe is an amazing plant because it attacks the cancer cells, but it doesn't attack your good cells like chemotherapy. It helps with bone stimulation of bone marrow activity. It diminishes tumor-related pain, and it also helps prevent recurrence of cancer. And, of course, for those people who do go through conventional treatments like chemo and radiation, it helps to mitigate the side effects of the nausea, the vomiting, the lack of sleep that they experience."
Oh, my goodness.
And I was just so amazed. I'm like, "Really?" And I'm like, "Well, what's the downside of it? You know, with every medication, there's always a slew of side effects. And with mistletoe, there was none. Could be a possible fever, but that's actually a benefit. But it's usually seen in very high doses." And so I started on the mistletoe therapy because he said to us, "Evelise, you and Jimmy have come up with a great plan with your diet. The supplements that you've added to help boost your immune system are great, but you have cancer cells within your body, and we need to get to them, ones that are not even being visibly seen by those scans." And that's where the mistletoe comes in.
Wow. So it detects and fights off and kills cells that aren't even detected yet, as well as the ones that are already there?
Yes. So
that's incredible. It's like a miracle drug.
It is. It really is.
That's crazy. Oh, my goodness. So are these like injections that they give you? Are they in a pill form? How is it is it delineated?
So there's two different ways, and the way that I used and still use is an injection, and it is the extract of a mistletoe. And with different types of mistletoe comes from different trees. So there's mistletoe from the oak tree, mistletoe from the ash tree, mistletoe from the apple tree. Yes.
And really?
Cancer, yep.
No idea.
Depending on that, your staging will determine what your body will need. And there are physicians, probably around 60 to 70 now in the U.S., who are trained that can that know mistletoe and can help patients today with this form of treatment to go complement what they're doing with their oncologists.
I'm really amazed by that. Is the mistletoe treatment, is that covered by insurance? I mean, could you take that, what you've learned, and let other, like, did you go back to that other doctor to let them know there is something else you can do? Did you think about doing that?
I did, and at every moment, you know, what I loved about my oncologist, he was humble enough to listen to Jimmy and I, and he knew that we had been doing our research, and we asked great questions. And I was just we were so thankful that God put him into our lives because he was still willing to monitor me and take care of me, even though I was not following his standard protocol for care. Most physicians, oncologists, if you don't follow their standard treatment of chemo and radiation, they will say, "I'm sorry, I can't help you. I won't follow you."
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, if that's the case.
Yes, and so he was unique in the sense, and I think it's his research mindset as well, that he's like, "You know what, absolutely, I still will." And I think they're also more open because at that point I was stage four. And the statistics when it comes to stage four colon cancer is that, as you mentioned, less than 8% chance of being alive 2 years later.
Wow. So they were willing to not play with your life and listen
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, he was willing to monitor me and help me. And
wow.
throughout that process, I was saying, do you see, like, when we went in for, we went in for my liver surgery, and 8 weeks later, we went for my post-op, and I started the mistletoe probably 2 weeks prior to that surgery. And I said to him, before I knew the results, I said, what is the likelihood that the cancer's back? And he says, you really want to know? And Jimmy
wow.
and I are like, yes, we want to know. And he said, 75% of the time, it's back in the liver.
Wow.
And we just looked at each other, and he said, and I'll never forget, Jimmy leans over to me, and he said, you're going to be that 25%.
Amen to that. Yeah, and you are.
So I was like, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
And we went in for my scan, and that same day, and there was no presence of cancer. We went 3 months later, no presence of cancer. 3 months after that, for another scan, no presence of cancer. And after each one, I had said to my oncologist, do you see the diet, the mistletoe, all of those things, you know, have prevented this cancer from spreading and going on? He's like, every single time he'd say, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic.
And, oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
And it wasn't until probably 2.5 years after being monitored that he said, this is monumental. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's and I said, we need to do a trial on this so that you as an oncologist can offer it as care. And that's where it all began, with getting mistletoe clinical trial done with Johns Hopkins so that it can be offered to patients and be covered by insurance. Because right now it is not. It is considered under the homeopathic remedies, pharmacopoeia. It's listed, so it's still FDA allows it to be used. By natural physicians, but it's not covered by insurance. But it is not expensive either. A month's supply of mistletoe can be anywhere between $150 to $200. So
wow. Okay.
It's not that expensive, no.
Well, you know what, we're going to hold that thought, and we're going to go to a station break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how this led into your incredible organization, Believe Big. Hold on to that thought, and we'll be right back.
Thanks.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you to do the same thing too.
Hi, this is executive producer Mel D, and thank you for tuning in. We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new, uplifting, and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalist, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn Fields, Less Stuff, More Meaningful Life. An up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels. And there's so much more. So get your subscription today at up2memagazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return.
And we're back. And if you're just joining us, we are talking with Executive Director and Co-Founder of Believe Big, Ms. Ivalise Page. If you would like to call in and make a comment or you have a question for Ivalise, please call 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. In the meantime, we're going to go ahead with our conversation with Ivalise. And Ivalise, we were just about to talk about how you created your organization, Believe Big. And I really love that name, by the way. Can you just tell me how you came up with that? I really love it.
Sure, absolutely.
Really?
Well,
awesome.
You know, Believe Big actually started during while I was getting treated. And my husband and I were sitting waiting for our appointment, and we looked around the waiting room. And all we saw were faces of anxiety and fear, and we knew it was because what is the patients were thinking or their loved ones, what's the doctor going to say today? And we had a different hope in knowing that, you know, even with those things that we battled ourselves, that we had a hope in Christ that we know gave us that strength to take that next step and that encouragement to overcome those feelings. And while we were sitting there, we said, you know, God has us here for a reason. And if it even to bring a smile to one of these individuals' faces, we need to figure out a way to bring his hope and encouragement during this difficult time for other families as we are in this stage at the moment. And so I'll never forget, I was sitting at my kitchen table before one of my appointments, and I had been praying about a way that we could be of a help. And I glanced down, and my kids had painted this mug that I would have my tea in my or my coffee in the morning, and had their handprints when they were babies. And my son at that time was, my oldest was 13, and my youngest was 5. And I remember I always used that same mug because it brought a smile to my face. It just brought back such great memories. And I remember looking at it, and I said, that's it. That's it. And my friends and family, church members, they're all saying, how can we help? How can we help you? How can we help others? And they actually gathered around, and we started to paint Believe mugs. And we had people paint them any way they wanted, whatever design they wanted. But somewhere on the mug, it had to have the word believe, and just believe, no other words. We wanted a simple message. And then once they were glazed and fired, we packed them, and we would put it, the I Will Have No Fear inside. And then when I'd go in for my appointments, Jimmy and I would go around and just give them to individuals. And it was amazing that you could see that room transform from fear and anxiety to being lifted up in hope and encouragement. And people were amazed that people would take the time to paint something for them. And so it started out with Believe mugs. And once I got well, my husband and others were saying, it's more than just mugs. We really need to work on this trial with Hopkins and other things. And we created Believe Big because we wanted to have everything in one place. We didn't want patients to have the difficulty that they typically find to find the information they need when they get diagnosed because they're going through so much already. And when we're trying to think of the name, Jimmy's like, it's so much bigger than just Believe. And all of a sudden he said, Evelise, it's Believe Big. You have to believe big. It's not just believing.
That's right.
And,
so awesome.
And he's like,
oh, my goodness.
And he's like, it's probably taken. And sure enough, he looks. He's like, it's not. So we got
taken.
The name and Believe Big.
You know what? I have tears in my eyes. You're telling me this because it's. I think it's beautiful. That I love how God can just take something so big and scary, and you know what the enemy, what the devil means for, you know, evil. God means for good. And look what and the fact that you yourself and your husband deliver the mugs. Because you're an example and you're proof that believing big works and that God can do big things and you don't have to necessarily be a statistic and you're there, you're living proof. And so I think it's it really speaks to, I don't know why, because I'm sitting here crying, I have tears running down my face, because it's beautiful. It's a beautiful message and it's so poignant for people because I can imagine, like you said, they're going through so much during that initial time, and they're probably just feeling so lost, and paralyzed. Like, what do I even do right now? And so, your website to me is just it just puts all those types of fears to rest, and it really is a beacon to give you direction to exactly what you need to do. And in the meantime, you have things that that help give them the strength to do it along the way. So would you go ahead and describe your website for me and all the resources and tools that you have there, because they're really great resources.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, on the website, we have information, of course, about mistletoe, what it is, frequently asked questions, physicians that can help me. And we even have testimonies of people who have, besides myself, who have used mistletoe therapy or a combination of therapies to be well and are still well today. And then we also have resources on first steps when you're diagnosed. Okay, I was just diagnosed, or my loved one was just diagnosed. What do I do now? So it shares about books that must reads. It has the I Will Have No Fear prayer and I Will Be Strong and Courageous. And it also has prayer cards that you can cut out and put all over your home, wherever you'd like, as a way of helping with that mental battle. We have questions to ask oncologists. You know, what are those questions that I need to ask? And then we also have the why behind those questions. Why is it important to ask those questions so that you are armed with information before you walk in through those doors? And then we have how to create a notebook and stay organized and being your own advocate and other resources that can help in that sense too. Then we also have information about people in the community who can paint Believe mugs in their state or organize a painting at their school or business for patients within their communities. And what are Believe mugs and how do we deliver them all over the country? How can I get one for my loved one? And then we also have a store where we have Believe Big apparel. Many of them have I Will Be Strong and Courageous, Joshua 1:9 on the back. Because I love that verse, right?
Yes.
We feel like patients wear them because they feel like almost like God has their back. You can walk in through that hospital door and be encouraged to know God's with me. I will be strong and courageous today. And others purchase them because they're beautiful and they love them and they want to support patients. And 100% of the proceeds from those sales of those apparel goes towards providing wellness grants for patients that can't afford care. So we also
that's
help.
That's amazing, Elise. Yeah. It's so important what you're doing.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you blow my mind.
Well,
you do.
I feel
really
like God,
do.
You know, when you sometimes think back and you see what God's doing, and it's just an honor to be able to be used by him. And
yes.
I think that he uses all of us, like he's using you and your radio show, to minister and to speak life into so many people's lives. And I feel if we all each do our own part, imagine what we can get done for his kingdom. So
thank you, Evelise, because we believe that too. I remember one time, it was several years ago, when I was trying to return to the workforce, and I was a stay-at-home mom for 15 years, and so it was not easy for me to try and get to re-enter mm-hmm. the workforce after that. And so I was asking the Lord what my purpose was. What's my purpose? And I think everybody questions that at some point in their life. And sometimes your purpose at 20, and this is what the Lord spoke to me, your purpose at 20 isn't always the same as it is in your 50s. So
yes.
You can have different journeys and different purposes that he has for you. But he clearly said to me in a Bible verse in a book I was reading called The Call by Rick Joyner, mm-hmm. and he said to me, your purpose is what did you just come out of? What did you, mm-hmm. what have you learned in your life that you've come out of? What trials and hardships? When you turn around and help other people through those exact same things, mm-hmm. that is your purpose. Your identity is in me. Your purpose is what you've just gone through to go back and to bring others out of that exact same experience.
Yes.
And so for me, I was blessed to meet with Atlanta Life Media's Melinda Davis, who you spoke with earlier.
Yes.
And I wasn't seeking to be a radio host or anything like that, but I appreciate the fact that that you recognize that as well, because this is what I feel is my purpose, to be a platform for people like yourself.
Hmm.
Because we need resources and tools that are out there so people don't feel lost in the world. And so you're a wonderful healthcare advocate for cancer because you're living proof. And that's what I think resonates with me, with you, because you could have just been just celebratory and thankful and grateful as you are and going on with your life with your family. And that would have been perfectly acceptable to do that, but yet you found it within your big heart and your big belief to turn this into an organization that helps other people through the exact same experience. Mm-hmm. And that's, I'm so proud of you for that, and I'm so grateful and thankful, and I'm sure other people are, and I think you've probably saved a lot of lives for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want you to know how important what you're doing is, and I hope that you do, feel that, you know, through your organization and what you do, because you also partnered, you touched on it briefly, with John Hopkins. So tell us about your partnership with John Hopkins and also Amazon Smiles. I really love that as well.
Sure, sure. Yes, so my oncologist is also one of the head researchers at Johns Hopkins, and he had seen through my journey, you know, how mistletoe was effective for me, and he had also seen other patients as well. And when I hit that 2.5 year mark and I said, we need to do this, he was at that point said, okay, let's start to sit down and talk about a way that we can make this happen. Because interestingly, he said to me, Evelise, it's not that easy. And I said, well, why isn't it that easy? Why can't we do a trial? And he said, well, these trials can cost hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars to do. And what we discovered is that mistletoe is a natural substance. And unless there's a patent opportunity, which at this point there isn't, pharmaceutical companies will not sponsor or do the trial because, of course, there's nothing that they can gain from it. And so it's really through private donations that it would have to be done. And I said, no problem. We're going to raise the funds for it. And he's like, okay. And then we sat down and we started to discuss, he, myself, Dr. Hindenberger. We set up a team, both natural and conventional doctors together, and it was such a beautiful picture of both sides working for the greater good. Because I found in this realm of work that you have doctors on the conventional side that think natural medicine is all poo-poo and snake oils and all of that,
right.
Diet doesn't matter. And then you have natural physicians or people in the natural world that think that the conventional doctors are evil. And so we really believe that there is value and importance to both, and that they're both necessary.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so to see that everyone in that room working together for the greater good in fight against cancer was just such a beautiful story, almost like in the Christian realm, imagine what we could get done if all denominations in the Christian church would get together and focus on what we're similar in versus on what divides us.
Right.
And so we started probably 4 years ago, actually, with the, you know, setting it up and investigating. And now we're to the point today where we have Helixor, who is the manufacturer of mistletoe, donating the mistletoe for the trial. We've gone through all of the FDA approval to begin the trial. And we had Johns Hopkins Hospital, who approved, their internal review board approved it to begin. And so we just keep praying, because within the next couple of weeks, patients will be able to be enrolled and the trial will begin.
Well, anything that Up to Me Radio and Magazine can do to help you get that word out, you know,
thank you.
I definitely want to partner with you in that, because what you're doing really does embody who we are about. And, I'm so excited for you about it. And I really do believe in what you're doing, and I think it's really revolutionary and it's important work, and I do think you're saving a lot of lives. And like I said, you could have just gone about your life, but you're going about the business of God's work and saving the lives of others, and I'm just astounded by all that you're accomplishing through it too. Mm-hmm. And you're educating other healthcare professionals as well on it. Mm-hmm. Because your other doctor said, this is all we got, but no, you
mm-hmm.
know what, it isn't all they have now, you have
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were able to do that, and so I'm just so proud of you. I just think it's awesome.
You're so sweet.
I really am. And unfortunately we're out of time, and I could just go on and talk with you about this. But I hope that you'll come back as well and share with us some more stories of how you're growing and all the different other concepts and research and stuff that I know is going to be found through all of this. So,
thank you.
And I really do. I just thank you so much. And also for taking your time on Saturday to be here so that you could share your personal story. And you educated me, and I'm sure our listeners out there that, you know, the effectiveness of alternative cancer treatments, they're giving people a lot of hope. And you offer a lot of various resources and educational tools, and you give spiritual guidance and prayers that I think that we would normally have access to. So I really applaud you and your entire team at Believe Big. I'm sorry, I really did want to go into who your team members are. They have incredible.
They're wonderful.
they really are. And I hope that you'll go visit her website at www.believebig and look at her team of people. I know some of the people on her team, and they are incredible individuals as well. So I just want to thank you again, and I'd like to close out in prayer, if you don't mind.
Yes, please.
Well, Lord, I thank you so much for the honor and the privilege that you give me each week to bring important and inspirational guests like Evalise Page. And, Father, we thank you so much that you preserved her life to save the lives of so many others. And we're grateful for her courage and to tell her personal story to strangers and her willingness to just open up her heart to create a place of alternative resources and spiritual hope to so many hurting individuals and families. And we just ask that you protect her and her many team members at Believe Big as they continue to work to do their work through you. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, if you would like to find out more information on Believe Big or feel you could personally benefit from their many resources and information, please, please visit their website at www.believebig.org. Perhaps you would like to donate to this worthy and life-saving nonprofit Christian organization. There are so many ways to give to Believe Big. Their website offers many ways to give both monetarily and through the volunteering process as well. Or please consider attending their upcoming Whole Body Wellness class on February 11th or their Believe Big fundraising dinner on April the 8th in Baltimore. Their website will provide you with all the details, and all monetary donations are tax deductible. On social media, you can follow Evalise Page and Believe Big on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Pinterest, respectively. The Up to Me magazine show will be back next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. with another fabulous guest destined to inspire and educate you on your own personal journey. So mark your calendars, meet me here at the Gabby G Cafe, and on behalf of Mel D and myself and the entire cast of Up to Me Radio, this is Gabby G saying take 5 this week and be inspired to ask yourself about your own Up to Me moment. Then come back and share it with us, because you know what? It's your life, your moment. It's up to you. Take us out, Mel D, with our fabulous theme song, Wake Up, by Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you.
from your sleepless slumber. We can do this no longer. Me have to say, wake up and live. Your life is full of purpose. Must see that you're worth it. Again, I say, wake up and live from your sleepless slumber. We can do this no longer. Me have